Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to turn your attention to Ezekiel, the 20th chapter. And verse number 41. Ezekiel 20 and 41 says, I will accept you with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered. And I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word. We thank you for it. Help us to live by it. Anoint it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For years, I've worn the same cologne. And I'll find myself, before going to church, just putting a little cologne on. I never smell it on myself. You know, I think a lot of ladies put on perfume and they never smell the perfume other people do. But I remember years ago going down to the lower level to talk to Brother Rick Bailey before his youth service, and he wasn't there. And I told the young people, tell Brother Bailey I want to speak to him before service. And he came in and he said, Brother Schumacher was down here because he could smell the cologne that I was wearing. About 3 weeks ago, Sister Lapatina came up to the altar and asked me to pray for her, and I did. And the next day I got a text and said, God really touched me, but your cologne has been lingering on my head. Amen. There's all kinds of people who have said they have the answer for a ring around the collar. I think the best solution is washing your neck. You know, I think cleanliness is next to godliness. I will accept you with your sweet savor or pleasant odor or fragrance when I bring you out from the people. He's talking to the church. And gather you out of the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. This verse implies that we can't approach God without having some kind of sweet savor. Can't. Notice the last thing the high priest did before he entered into the holiest of holies was burn incense. Some sweet smelling incense. And it had to be done. I don't care how long you worked in the holy place. I don't care how many shoe bread you ate. You know. You still had to go to the incense burner, and you had to come up with some incense, which cost something. David said in Psalms 141 and 2, let my prayer or worship be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So it's about worship and lifting up our hands in the evening. Amen. A lot of churches have a problem with that because they don't have any evening service. So before we get into the holiest of holies, the presence of God, there must be a burning of incense, or there has to be some kind of worship. Amen. All right. No other option. Amen. It's not going to happen because of service work. It's not going to happen because we did some good things around the church or other people. So turn to Revelation the 8th chapter, if you would. Revelation 8 and verse number 4. Actually, start in verse number 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne, right before the throne. Amen. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. The saints, incense of the saints. Well, there should be a lot of smoke in this place every time we have a worship service. I mean, we don't see it, but there is a lot of smoke in this place. So the condition to the acceptable offering unto God, as it said in Ezekiel 20 and 41, was to come out from the rest of the world and bring forth a sweet-smelling fragrance unto God. It's the only thing that will get us into his presence. You see, long before we became the high priest, because we were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, God required the high priest to come before him with some kind of perfume. And it was a type and shadow of our worship today. So if you'll turn to Exodus, the 30th chapter. And verse 25. This is instructions to the high priest. And thou shalt make it a holy oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation wherewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all of his vessels, and the candlestick, and the vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, with all his vessels, and the laver, and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. When we sanctify something, we set it apart for a specific ministry. Amen. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his son and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. Again, shadow and type, have to have an anointing in order to minister in that office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. So we find that this incense, this precious oil, this perfume, was to be made according to God's specifications, and it wasn't supposed to be put on mankind. Only the high priest could have the special perfumed oil, if you will. We're going to anoint all of the instruments in the tabernacle. And again, shadow and type. Today, God says, from the second chapter of the book of Acts, I'll pour out my spirit or anointing upon all flesh. So today, we don't anoint the keyboard and the drums and all of the other instruments. We anoint those who play the keyboard and the drums, you see. Amen. Amen. Now, if you'll look at verse 33, whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. There are those who would like to copy what we have in Pentecost without the privilege of the holy anointing oil. I don't believe in the Holy Ghost, but we want to have the same kind of church. Can't do that. That's a stranger, you see. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small and put of it before the testimony of the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. So you can't have church without the oil. You can't have church without separation and anointing. And it's got to be on Aaron and his sons, who are the high priest, and it has to be on every individual that's in the church. So it's not a matter of, oh, I hope the pastor is anointed tonight. No, I hope everyone is anointed tonight, for we are separated onto a service or ministry to God. Today, each of us become the apothecary or the perfumer. That's what it means. And when we come to each service, our primary responsibility is that of the apothecary. Somehow, we have to have some kind of incense that is burned that becomes a sweet savor or fragrance unto God, which allows us then to get into the holiest of holies and get beyond the flesh. Because we can keep coming to church and still be in the holy place and never get past the curtain or this flesh in order to really please God. We become the perfumers of the sanctuary. We produce holy oil or perfume by our worship, which allows us to transcend into the holiest of holies. Amen. Just faithfulness won't do it. Just prayer won't do it. Just offering won't do it. This holy perfume or oil is what allows us to get closer to God. And in the process of worshiping God, we take on the fragrance of heaven. Amen. So as we produce something sweet and fragrant to God, which is our worship, then God allows that same perfume to fall upon us, you see. And then he allows us to have great joy in the experience. You know, it's a horrible thing if we come in and we try to worship God, but we're not feeling anything. Would you turn to Hebrews, the first chapter? And verse number 9, it says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, because we love righteousness and we hate wickedness, iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So what happens is, when we separate ourselves, we've come out from among them and separate, then there is this special anointing upon us that makes us glad we're in church. And if I'm not glad I'm in church, maybe it's because I haven't been producing something for God, and therefore he cannot produce up something for me, an oil of gladness. Hallelujah. Now, God anoints us with this oil of gladness when we receive this joy that comes from heaven, and we start smelling like God. Amen. A lingering of this anointing oil. I don't know if you've ever been in services that have been so incredible that even an hour after you've come out of church, you're still feeling. Amen. oh, God, this is so awesome. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter? And verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor or fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor or fragrance of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To one we are a savor of death unto death, and to another the savor or fragrance of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things?" Have you ever wondered why some people are attracted to us, and then there are some people who can't stand to be around us? Huh? You know? I mean, you may not have even said anything. You were just there, and all of a sudden, you know, you get the looks, and you can see by the body language, they don't want anything to do with us. Well, to some we are the perfume of life unto life, and others we are the smell of death unto death. We are like a pesticide killing off the pleasures of sin, you know? Don't invite me to your party because I'm going to be a wet blanket. Just my showing up is going to make somebody feel bad. You know? Glory to God. You've seen those commercials on Raid. You bring the can of Raid out and all these bugs start dying or getting out of there. Amen. They just can't be around us. They can't feel comfortable with us. Because there is this fragrance of God. There's a fragrance of heaven that is upon us. When Mary poured out the perfume from the alabaster box on Jesus, he said it'll be a memorial from generation to generation. That fragrance stayed with my God for a long, long time. During the mock trial, I believe there was this fragrance of that perfume that was so expensive that lingered in the robe of Jesus. When he hung on the cross, I really believe there was still this fragrance of this perfume, this worship of a woman who wasn't invited to the party, but she took all that she had and poured it out. And the same is true for us. God's anointing perfume lingers on us long after we leave the church service. People will always know when we have spent some time with Rosa Sharon. They will. And the more time that we spend with God, the greater the fragrance that stays with us. I don't think we understand the value of being shut up with God. I don't think we understand the value of spending time at the altar before service or after service. It's just, you know what? We don't have any time clocks here. We don't punch in and punch out. We did our duty. Now, you know, I want to linger. I want to get as much of the smell from heaven to descend on me. I want the joy or oil of gladness to be there, not only on Sundays and Wednesdays, but I want it to linger on me on Monday and Tuesday. Wake up with a song in my heart and a feeling of God. Amen. The hour and a half that we spend in church services have a tremendous effect on us. And I think we just don't recognize how much it does for us. There is a penetration of God's Spirit that stays with us long after we've ever left the building. His countenance lingers on our face, and the aroma of his perfume remains on us. Amen. I've been at places after a Sunday morning service, and people have said, "Where do you go to church?" Didn't open my mouth, didn't say a thing, but there's still that fragrance. There's still a glow, if you will, long after the service is over. Would you turn to Exodus, the 34th chapter? And verse 29. 40 days on a mountain with Jesus. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tablets of testimony in Moses' hand, and when he came down from the mountain, that Moses wished not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all of the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all of the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all of the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them a commandment, all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai, and till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took off the veil until he came out, and he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. I believe there is this anointing. I believe there is a glow. I really believe when we have some of those awesome services that we have, that there's something special. There is a glow. I've been with Jesus. It makes a difference. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Luke, the 22nd chapter? And verse 54. Here's a dark time for Peter. If there was ever a bad day for Peter, this was a bad day for Peter. Verse 54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Three people, over a period of 1 hour, accused Peter of being with Jesus. Three people. I don't know if they ever saw Peter before. They kindled the fire, and Peter just sat down among them. He didn't say a word. Didn't say anything. Listen, we can't just be with people and not have them recognize that somehow we've been with Jesus. I don't think it was just that they recognized who Peter was, but when you build a little fire, there is a fragrance. There's an aroma. There's a glow. There's something in our face. And there was that glory on Peter's face. Even though he wasn't perfect, God says, we're going to be a demonstration to the heathen. We take on the smell and the character of those that we spend time with. So you have to ask yourself, who do you smell like? A few years ago, our family was invited to a wedding anniversary on my wife's side relatives. It was an open bar, an open smoking, adult language. And we didn't stay very long, but by the time I got home, our clothes smelled, my hair smelled, even our skin started to smell like those we were around. I want to smell like Jesus. I want to smell like heaven. I want there to be a fragrance. According to the scriptures, I want to have the fragrance. It's a very familiar fragrance. I mean, they spend billions and billions of dollars, extracting smells from flowers and all kinds of things in order to sell to people so they smell good. But there's a special fragrance that comes from heaven. Would you turn to Acts, the 4th chapter? Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Folks, they know.
Yes.
They know. There are all kinds of religions and all kinds of interaction. There are all kinds of people who witness. There are certain religions that go on a 2-year missions and knock on doors, and there's other people who have come to your door and you don't know them. But when there are people who have the anointing of God, the sweet smelling savor or fragrance of God, you can tell the difference. Amen. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Verse number 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Amen. Moses told Pharaoh, we need to go 3 days' journey away from Egypt in order to worship. I don't want to smell Egypt. I don't want to be around Egypt. When we were in Mexico in April, every once in a while, their sewer system there just isn't exactly like our sewer system, you know? And whoa, you get a fragrance, you know? That's why people have dogs at home, because you can blame the dog for some bad smells. Amen. But we need to get away from the odor of this world. We really, there's a stink of sin. So we can get the fragrance of God. Revelation 5 and 8 said, and golden vials full of odors, which is the worship of the saints.
Amen.
Amen. If you go to Revelation, the musicians would come. We're not preaching long tonight. Revelation, the 8th chapter. verse number 3. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers or worship of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. We just don't understand the value that puts us in a place like nothing else puts us in a place like our worship.
Amen.
You can be a great organized church and you can have great programs and you can even have great music. But the only thing that puts us in the presence of God is worship. I said it Sunday morning, a unified worship where everyone is bringing incense up to God. And when it's a united sacrifice of worship, oh my God, we won't have to ask God, would you heal us? We're short this month because of fine. We won't have to, because God will distribute. Hallelujah. Could it be that God walks through our congregation with a vial of perfume?
Amen.
Pouring it upon those who worship and those who want to have righteousness and separate themselves from the things that separate us from God. How do you smell tonight? Would you grade your worship? Where would you be? And I'm wondering if we sang tonight, just keep on worshiping him until we hear the victory sound.
Amen.
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 I am so grateful that I'm living in the day that I'm living in. The high priest, he was the one who went before the Lord for all of the people. You people just sit here, I'll worship for you. Boy, that could be fun, huh?
Right.
I have somebody else worship for me. I'll have my wife come to church. I'll stay home. Or vice versa. But according to what I see in Exodus is that the high priest, when he did finally get into the holiest of holies, because he was obligated to be that apothecary and burn that incense in order to get through the veil that separated the holy place with the holiest of holies, he had to have a bell and a pomegranate tied to the bottom of the robe so the people could hear as he was worshiping. And if he didn't worship, the Bible said, he was struck dead. They tied a rope around his leg because if the dumb guy didn't worship, they weren't going to go in there. They'd just pull him out.
Right.
You're a high priest.
Amen.
I'm a high priest.
Amen.
The same rules apply to us because if we're not making the noise, if we're not worshiping like we're supposed to worship,
amen.
No, God won't strike us dead. But spiritually,
all right.
What happens?
Amen.
Boy, song service is so long. And some of those people are so radical. And I don't care for those songs. Hallelujah. That's why everybody up here has to live a consecrated life. If they're not tithing, they're not going to be up here. You know why? We jeopardize